Well, we've been talking about choices, and I want to give you some pretty solid teaching this morning. We're talking about choices. You know, people make choices in their life, and that people think that destiny is just floating out there. It's my destiny that this happened, or this destiny. That's not true. Destiny is the sum of all the choices you make. If you have a poor destiny, don't blame God, because most often you've made decisions that you are reaping the fruit of further down the line. That's the way decisions work. There are consequences. So if you get into the habit of making right choices, your life is going to be moving from, you know, deep into your destiny with the Lord. And if you get in the habit of making wrong choices, as many, many people do, your life is going to be a mess. And you cannot blame anyone else except you and your choices. So today I want to take our discussion on choices to the next level. And I want to talk about when our choices become involuntary, if you like, behaviors, which we call habits. Now, don't look at me so piously. We all have bad habits, don't we? Let's be honest. And some of us have good habits, and I believe we need more good than bad. So what is a habit? We're creatures of habit, in fact. The dictionary.com defines a habit as a long, loose garment worn by a member of a religious order. All right. It also defines it as an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it becomes almost involuntary. And that's the secret of a habit. The power of a habit is in the fact you don't think about it. You just do it. Have you ever seen a chain smoker? They're not smoking chains. You can smoke many things. Chains is probably not right up there. But what they do is they finish one cigarette and they light the next cigarette with the previous cigarette. And and they do it involuntarily. They're not thinking about it. They do it completely involuntarily. So 2 Peter 2 verse 19, we're going to look at a number of scriptures through here, but this is an interesting verse. 2 Peter 2 verse 19 says this: they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a habit. A habit enslaves you. Of that there is no doubt. So understanding how we can break bad habits is an important skill in spiritual growth. And how we can form good habits is an important skill, because habits drive behavior and behavior determines character. Make no bones about it. If you have a lot of bad habits, your character suffers. How many of you know that? It's really true. So we all have habits, all of us, not the garments. I'm talking about the bad habits. We need to break the good ones and we need to break the bad ones and establish the good ones, which will result in increasing godliness and spiritual power in our lives. Remember, according to Scripture, you're going to be slave to one or the other. So make a choice to be slave to good habits, not to bad habits. Does that make sense? Good. Now, I'm going to look at how habits happen, because they don't, it's like a hair shampoo. Habits don't happen overnight, but they do happen. Right? So they come about slowly, layer upon layer. At the start, we consciously do a task, but as we do it over and over again, it becomes automatic. We do it without thinking about it. Then it becomes a habit. So habits can be good, like brushing your teeth. I hope you all brushed your teeth this morning. Did you do that? That's a good habit. They can be God, like reading your Bible, and I hope you did that. They can be bad habits, like eating junk food. Or they can be sinful habits, like lying. I've met people who lie just with no reason. They just can't help themselves. They just keep lying. It becomes a habit in them. So they can be good, God, they can be bad, or they can be sinful. But again, it's repeatedly doing the action. What happens after a while is that the behavior starts to master you instead of you mastering the behavior. That's how habits form. In fact, Romans 6:16 says this: do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? So what Paul is saying there is you are going to be a slave of somebody. People say these days, I want my freedom. You can't have your freedom, because you will be a slave to somebody or something. if you are not a slave to good and to righteousness, you will be a slave to evil. Because there is no real true freedom. People say, I want to be free. I want to get out on the open road and I just want to be free. Well, you can't. Because in our country, you might say, I want to be free to drive on the right. You can't do that in our country. It's not allowed. Why? Because everyone else is driving on the left. If you say, I want to be free. See, even if you want to be free on the open road, you have to obey at least that road rule. Otherwise, you will not get very far in one piece. So good habits are formed and they become righteousness, and bad habits become sin, and you will serve one or the other. So let's have a look first of all at bad habits and see how we can break bad habits before we look at creating good ones. So we're talking about Breaking Bad. I haven't seen that TV show, but we're going to be talking about breaking bad habits. Negative habits have negative effects on our lives, but they can be broken. And God wants us to break habits, to break bad habits. And here's the thing. I'll mention this in a moment as well. But if you don't break bad habits off your life, he will, because he loves you so much. But it'll hurt a lot more. How many of you have experienced that? I have. So here are eight keys towards breaking bad habits. Number one is identify the habit. Some bad habits are bad for everybody. For example, drug taking, generally as a rule, is bad for everybody. Unless it's prescribed medication. But some have varying effects on people. So, for example, some people might have the bad habit of staying up late at night. Does anybody have that habit? Yes, as do I. But for some people, it's a bad habit because they're like zombies the next morning. But for other people, it's a good habit because they're very productive at night. You know, the kids go to bed, I can finally get down to it. So you can't just say staying up late is a bad habit, because it depends on the person. So how do you know which habit you need to eliminate? Well, Psalm 139, one of my favourite psalms, verse 23 and 24 says this. You probably know it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. You know that? Test me and know my thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. The offensive way in me is likely to be bad habits, and the way everlasting is likely to be good habits. So you need to let the Holy Spirit search your heart and reveal what needs to be changed. This is not a once-off process. You can't say, okay, I've got rid of all my bad habits now, I'll be right for the rest of my life. How many of you know that bad habits sneak up on you? Just a little bit. You're strangely quiet out there, some of you. Perhaps making a list helps. Maybe you can make a list of the recurring troubles in your life and see if these troubles are tied to specific behaviours, which we call bad habits. The second thing is to recognise a habit loop. Now, I don't know if you know what a habit loop is, but the second point is this: identify the habit loop. Every habit has a loop in it. It consists of a trigger, a routine, and a reward. So let me go through those just very quickly. The trigger tells your brain to go into automatic behavior. The routine is the behavior itself. And the reward is something that satisfies your brain. Okay? It's called a habit loop. So if you have a bad habit, for example, it fits into that loop. Let's take, for example, the habit of gossiping. Now, we don't have any gossips here. Hallelujah. I'm always speaking out words of faith, but we don't have too many gossips here as far as I know. But the trigger for a gossip is when they hear something negative about someone. That's the trigger. Then they go into this behavior of starting to talk about it. Did you hear about so-and-so, you know? Or if you're in church, let me tell you this so you can pray for them. That's how we do it in church. And the reward is that the person you tell, their eyes light up, and you've infected them, and on they go. And you think, wow, this is great. And they think you're a reporter. You've got the big scoop. When all you've done is you've passed on gossip. You see how it works. Trigger, routine, and reward. Hosea 8 verse 7 says this: those who sow the wind will reap a whirlwind. And what he's saying there is that very often the reward you get for a bad habit is not the one that you thought you'd get. So the gossip thinks they're going to be the source of all information and they're going to be a bit of celebrity for passing this on. But the reward they actually get is a really bad reputation as a gossip. Don't tell her, she'll tell everybody. So the immediate reward is not always the long-term reward. That's what I'm saying. So, for example, in an alcoholic, the immediate reward is they feel a high. The long-term reward, of course, is that they ruin their reputation, they lose their family, they destroy their lives, they get caught in addiction. So that's the habit loop. So the third key is change the trigger. So if you're struggling with bad habits, one thing you can do is to change the trigger. Sometimes a negative habit can be overcome by simply changing the trigger. That's all. One very common, now this is going to hurt. Everybody say ouch. This is going to hurt. One very common habit, you ready for this? Because we all do it a lot, is interrupting a conversation you're having with someone to check a text when a text comes in. You don't do that? I knew there was a few out there. Who does that? Come on, true confessions. I do. And all you need to do is to get that little volume button on your phone and switch it off. Then you can actually have a conversation without it going ding, oh, sorry, I've got to get that. You see, so all we're changing is the trigger, but we can break that bad habit by changing the trigger. Luke 10, verse 41 to 42, I'm paraphrasing this. This is the gospel according to Darren. So this is not actual gospel, okay? But this is what the Lord says to Martha and Mary. Luke 10, but Martha answered her, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many texts. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion and her phone will not be taken away from her. So you can see that's just one example of you can change the trigger to change the response. The second thing you can do is to change the context. Many bad habits happen at a specific time in a specific way. When things are set up for them to happen. For example, we are more likely to engage in negative habits when we are bored or stressed or when we're seeking to avoid work, procrastinating. Then all the negative habits start to happen. When you encounter the situation, the habit starts to control you because it's the situation, the context that brings it to life. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful to me, but I will not be dominated by anything. If your bad habit dominates you in certain situations, it's sin. And if it dominates you in certain situations, avoid the situation. Here's another ouch one. If you are the sort of person who eats snack food when you're bored, I think there's more than that out there. I'm pretty sure that there's not 12 of us in this comment who eat snack food when you're bored. The context is you're bored. So if you keep yourself busy, guess what? You break the habit of eating snack food. See, it's the context that the habit is latching onto. If you get snappy and irritable when you are stressed, men, any men like that? A few? You come home from work. You're not like that, Otto, are you? If you're going to be irritable, it always sounds better in German, trust me. It sounds really, you know, but if you are stressed, if you get irritable when you're stressed, if you can lower the stress level, you don't get as irritable. Does that make sense? So this can be very hard to do, to change the context. So another way of approaching habits, and our next point, is to substitute the habit. Jeremiah 13 verse 23 says this, can an Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard change his spots? Then also you can do good, you who are accustomed to evil. What God is saying there is it's really hard to change some of these behavior. So instead of trying to change the entire behavior, you can substitute it with a better or at least a less bad behavior. Changing a bad habit is often easier said than done. You can't just snap your fingers and remove something that's been controlling you, especially as many of our bad habits control us. We don't even know we're doing them. How many of you do stuff and you don't even know you're doing it? Yeah? So how do you change that? A great idea that can help if you're being dominated by a bad habit is to re-engineer the habit loop and put in a less bad habit. Now, I read about a psychologist called John Barr who recognized that he had a drinking problem. He recognized he was drinking more and more and more alcohol. And it was beginning to control his life and his moods. So he also knew that trying to remove the bad habit of drinking is often extremely hard. So this is what he came up with. Instead of trying to remove it, when he felt the urge to drink, he stuck a lollipop in his mouth. He rewarded himself with a sugar hit. Remember, there's the trigger, the behavior, and the reward. He got the trigger. He went into a different reward that gave him a sugar hit as a behavior instead of the alcohol. Later on, he didn't even like lollipops. So later on, he found it easy to give the lollipop up and he never went back to the drinking. You see how he did that? He re-engineered his habit. The sixth thing, if you want to get rid of a bad habit, is be accountable. Accountability is a great asset when it comes to stopping a bad habit. Having someone who calls you and asks you specifically how you're doing in a particular area is really helpful. Why? Because you don't want to say, I blew it, do you? If you've got someone you're accountable and they say, well, how did you go with? And you go, you want to be able to say, oh, no, I'm doing well, don't you? See, accountability is powerful because it keeps you on track, because you dread having to own up that you've failed at the task. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 to 10 is a very well-known verse, and I love it too. Two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good return for their toil. If they fall down, one will lift the other one up. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one else to lift him up. So if you become accountable to someone, you can break bad habits because you're not on your own. And if you fall, they will lift you up. That's what church should be full of accountability, where we're able to say to one, hey, how are you going with that? And if you have fallen, to lift you up without judgment, but with much love to lift you up and keep you on track to conquer your bad habit. The seventh point is to overcome a bad habit is never give up. Bad habits are very often hard to shift, but don't give up. Remember, any habit that is not of God, that is controlling you instead of controlling it, is sin. I remember talking to Fiona one time, and at that particular moment in her life, the Lord was speaking to her about the amount of chocolate she was eating. And this is true. And God said to her, you know, I want you for a time to give up eating chocolate. And she argued back and forth with the Lord, and she said to the Lord, well, you know, chocolate's not such a big deal. It's not like I'm murdering people or something. You know, it's not such a big deal. And God said to her, if it's not such a big deal, give it up. You can't argue with that. So if you struggle and fall, and you've just got to keep going, because God wants you to become all you can in the Lord. James 1:4 says this, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now the final key to kicking a bad habit is the most important one. Pray and stay. It's the big key. You can diagnose a habit. You can isolate the trigger. You can replace a bad habit with a better one. But let's face it, folks. Bad habits and addictions can be amongst the most powerful adversaries you ever face. If you've ever had to walk the road of dealing with someone with addiction, it is a powerful adversary. It is really hard to break the power of that negative over their life. To conquer, you need the power of the Holy Spirit with you. This is the great key. If God, Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? If you come to Christ and have the Holy Spirit living in you, you can get power within you to break addictions on a scale you would not believe. Trying to do them on yourself, you might have a bit of success, but I can guarantee you, you'll have more success if you pray and you seek the Lord. Your successes will be amplified. Praying and yielding yourself to God allows him to do the impossible and to conquer bad habits that control your life. John 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. And when it comes to facing a powerful bad habit or addiction, we feel like we can do nothing. Our best efforts try and get us there, but apart from him, you have not got a lot of chance of breaking bad habits. If you pray, if you have others pray with you, if you're accountable, if you trust God, you can succeed in breaking bad habits. So as I said before, God loves you. You need to deal with it or he will. He loves you so much that if you don't deal with your bad habits, be sure your sins will find you out. This is not a threat. This is the voice of experience here. If you don't deal with your bad habits, so I think it's in our interests to deal with our bad habits, don't you? I'd rather I dealt with them than we suffer the consequences of those, because very often the consequences of our bad habits are going to be painful and horrible and great things to avoid. But God will go through those. He will let you suffer the consequences of your bad habit, which often involves being caught, right? Many of our bad habits are in secret. When you get caught, it's bad, isn't it? But he will let you suffer that because he loves you and he wants you to come through that and conquer that habit in your life. And that produces character. Romans 5, 3 to 5 says this, not only that, we also rejoice in our sufferings. And when your bad habit is exposed, it's a suffering. We know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So suffering is one common way that God deals with your persistent sins and bad habits. And the suffering is often called getting caught. Galatians 6, verse 7 says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. As a man sows, therefore shall he reap. One who sows to his own flesh will reap the flesh from the flesh corruption. One who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit eternal life. So don't ignore bad habits because they fester and they grow and they control your life. And you don't want them. You need to deal with them. And if you don't deal with them, God will, because he loves you so much. So God promises we can conquer bad habits if we persevere. But let's flip it around for a minute. How do you establish good habits? Because we want to conquer bad habits and get rid of them, right? Breaking bad. But we want to have good habits in our life. Remember, habits are unconscious patterns of behavior acquired by frequent repetition. We mainly think of bad habits, but good habits can be just as powerful. There was a study in the 1960s came out that said it takes 21 days to establish a habit. That's wrong, apparently. They've done another study and they now say it takes 66 days to establish a habit. That's a long time. That's over 2 months to establish a good habit. But once you do it, it's very powerful in your life. Now, strangely, bad habits are a lot easier to establish. How many of you know that? It's easier to establish bad habits than it is to create good ones. But some habits, many good habits actually, are forced on us by other people. Did you know that? Your mum and dad, when you were growing up, hopefully they put some good habits into you. Your teachers and stuff in school. We didn't like it at the time, but many of the things they taught us are good habits that we acquire. Have you noticed that? And you've still got them. How many of you can look at your life and see habits today that your parents or your teachers put into you when you were a young person? Can you see that in your life? I can. Good habits I'm talking about, not bad ones. So how do we create a good habit? Because you can do it by yourself. It's just a little bit harder when you're not being forced. So how can you create a godly habit? Number one, choose a habit to create. As I said, there are many habits. Identify a habit that you want to include in your life. So the habit might, for example, be brushing your teeth. And you've got to do it 66 days in a row at the same time to establish a habit. But who cares? It's only brushing your teeth. What about reading your Bible? Is that a good habit? There you go. So identify the habit you want and consciously and deliberately set yourself up for that habit. And choose one habit. Don't choose 10 habits. People get, oh, this is great. I'm going to have all these great habits in my life. I'll choose 10 habits. Don't do it. Choose one habit. You know, Paul says, one thing I do. Choose one and get it right. Once that's established in your life, you can move on to another habit. The second thing, this is similar to the negative one, but the second thing is identify the trigger. What is the trigger of this habit? You got to have a good look at it, like this guy, and see if you can find out what the trigger is. Now, research shows us that for good habits particularly, they fit into what the trigger fits into one of five different areas. Listen to these. This is important. Location, time, emotional state, other people, and whatever immediately precedes the action. So a helpful cue if you want to establish a good habit in your life is to take advantage of as many of those categories as possible. As an example, I want to take the quiet time. I'm hoping you're spending time with the Lord every day. I do. It's my routine. It's my habit. I've done it for more than 66 days. I've done it for 66 years almost. But the quiet time is something a lot of people have. And the people who don't regularly spend time in God's Word almost always don't have a habit. Okay? Because the habit keeps you in there. So when I have my quiet time, I set myself up for success. I have it at the same time every day. Mark 1:35 says, talking about Jesus, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed, went to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So he had a quiet time in the morning. So do I. So I have it at the same time every day. I have it at the same place. I have a chair. I have a quiet time chair. And I sit in my chair, the same chair every day. The same routine. Cup of coffee, sitting in my chair, reading my Bible. That's what's formed the habit and so powerful. The third thing is to create a reward. See, Galatians 6:9 says this, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap a reward if we do not give up." Now, when it comes to a good habit like reading your Bible or praying, you know there's long-term rewards, don't you? You know you're going to be a better person if you read your Bible. But that's too far away for the reward. What the experts recommend is that you give yourself an immediate reward. Now, in my case, every time I read the Bible, I give myself an instant reward. I have a great cup of coffee. This sounds funny, but this is really true. Trust me, don't drink instant coffee. The devil's in that. Drink good coffee. You know, get yourself a coffee machine or a percolator or a coffee bag or a tea bag if you're so inclined, but something that you love. And I sit down every morning to the same chair, the same time, same bat channel, and I drink my cup of coffee and it gives me an instant reward. Now, I know that's not the real reward for having a quiet time. And many times the Lord speaks out of the Bible and I get excited, so I get a fantastic reward there too. But I've got an actual physical, and I actually tested myself a couple of days ago. I sat down to do a quiet time without my coffee and it didn't feel right because I've given myself a good habit of drinking good coffee and spending good time with the Lord. You're laughing, but it's true. See, a short-term reward reinforces the long-term reward. The fourth thing is to make it a part of your life. Routine is your big helper here. Because when you start to create a good habit, it's very conscious and you think about, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. After a while, you do it on autopilot. How many of you know you do things on autopilot? You do, because it's a routine. And some of these routines are really hard to break. We currently live in Nambour. We used to live in Diddillibah. And a couple of times, I have found myself driving down the connection road and turning off to Diddillibah. But I don't live there anymore. I live in Nambour. But the habit, after all these years, it's still there because that's how powerful these things can become. So doing things over and over moves it from the conscious mind to your subconscious mind, and that creates a habit. And this is really like, if you talk about training, you know, when our armed forces have training, they send the guys out on training. What are they doing? They are doing stuff over and over again till it gets ingrained in them. Footballers do stuff over and over again until it gets ingrained in them. They are forming good habits. That's what training is. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 says this, "For while bodily training is of some value," it is, "godliness is of value in every way, and it holds promise for the present life and the life to come." See, just as you train your body, or a footballer trains his body, or a soldier, an elite soldier trains his body, so you could train your spirit to be receptive to God. And that is a good habit. The fifth thing is to start small and to recover quick. Now, many times we fail to establish godly habits in our life because we start big, and when it doesn't work, we get discouraged. How many of you know that? It's really true. So why not start with what experts call mini habits? That is not having a habit inside a mini minor. That is not having a habit wearing a short skirt. A mini habit is a habit that is a small one that you get right, and then you can move on to the next one that you get right, and then and so on, and build the good habit into your life. So, for example, some people come to me, we've got a Bible reading plan here. You can read the highlights of the Bible, two passages a day, two chapters a day, read the whole Bible in a year. Now, that's fantastic. Who's doing that plan, that reading plan? Many of us are. Some people come to me and say, Pastor, I just can't do that. Now, I've timed, I reckon it takes about 5 to 7 minutes to do the two passages. And some people say, I can't do this because, you know, I just can't spare that much time in my world. I've got Facebook and everything else I've got to do, can't spare it, right? So that's okay. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why not just start reading one of those passages? That then halves your time down to 2.5 or 3 minutes. You see what I mean? You start with a mini one and you build on it. If you find it hard to pray, you know, all the time, start with a small prayer. If you find it hard to memorize scripture, which many of us do, start with one verse that you get. They say you should learn a verse every week. Well, learn a verse every year. At least you've learned one, you know, and you start with a mini habit. So, and another thing is, when I say start small and recover quick, if you start into a habit and you fall, you need to recover quick. I've had a few people say to me, look, I started the reading plan. I want to read God's word, but I missed a few. I got so far behind and now I've got 28 chapters to catch up. How many of you know that feeling? Yeah. Well, I say to them, I'm not keeping score. God's not even keeping score. Skip the 28 chapters and start on today again. Make a recovery, because I'd rather you made a recovery and tried to keep up from here than to be so discouraged being 28 chapters behind, you give up. So start small and recover quickly. Matthew 7, Jesus says this, you will recognize them by their fruits. See, the long-term result of all of these good habits is going to be good fruit, isn't it? And the long-term result of all the bad habits is going to be bad fruit. Because Jesus said, you'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, and every diseased tree bears bad fruit. So if you're wondering if you're walking close to the Lord, have a look at your life. Is there good fruit there or is there bad fruit? It often gives the game away. So the reason I'm telling you this about good and bad habits and suggesting we deal with these is not just because of their choices, but because the Bible says we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Now, many Christians think, well, I'm a Christian, I won't get judged. Not true. You hear me? Not true. The Bible talks of several judgments. The judgment of the great white throne is the judgment where the whole of mankind will stand before God. And with a broken heart, he will say to many, depart from me, I never knew you. If you don't ask Jesus into your life, you are going to hell. It's that simple. It's not my rules, that's his rules. He's made a way for us to come back to him through the person of Jesus Christ. If you accept Jesus into your life, you can be saved. You can know that you're going to heaven. But at the great white throne judgment, the Lord is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, to a whole bunch of people. And I think we'll be surprised, because there will be some people who get told to depart that we think are saved. But that's a salvation issue. That's the big one. For those of us who are saved, though, we are going to stand, the Bible says, before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due him for what has been done in the body, whether good or bad. So here's the situation. Jesus will weigh up our sin, the things we've said, thought and done, and we will receive reward or not at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why it's essential to establish good habits now, so that we can have good rewards when we stand before Christ. And bad habits, we're not talking about salvation. You have to dissociate that in your head. The great white throne judgment is done. We're all saved. But of those of us who are saved, we will still give an account. Do you understand that? That's why it's important that we do what is right and what is godly in our lives. 1 Corinthians 3 sets this up. I may even preach on this soon, because Paul talks about a foundation that has been laid, which is Jesus Christ, but that everyone gets the chance, every believer gets the chance to build on that foundation. This is what it says, 1 Corinthians 3:15. It says you can build on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. Now, many of the things we do in our life are gold. When you read the Word of God, that's gold. When you bless someone, when you lead someone to Christ, when you cook a meal for someone and take it, that's gold, silver, costly stones. But many of the things that we do to satisfy ourselves, even if we do them in the name of Jesus, we did it with the wrong motive, that's just straw. It's wood, hay, and straw. And the Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 3, if the work that anyone has built, he comes to it, he tests it with fire, he lights fire to it, and if what he has built survives, then he will receive his reward. But if what he has built is burned up, he will not receive a reward. Then it says this, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames, or by the skin of his teeth, we would say. So you can be a Christian and not live a Christian life, and you will have no rewards. The things that you do, the things that you build up, the fire comes in, boom, they're gone. I don't know about you, but I want to, when he sets fire to my stack, I want to see it still there. That's what I want to build into my life. And I hope you do too. That's why it's important that we get this right. We don't just settle for putting up with bad habits and going with the flow and saying, oh, it's only a bad habit, God can put up with that. No, let's be better than that. Let's build gold, silver, and costly stones instead of wood, hay, and straw. So let me make it clear again. Believers are saved and are going to heaven, but our acts, what we have done, will be judged. So when God sets fire to your stack one day, what's going to be left? Have you been building gold, silver, and costly stones into your life, or have you been building wood, hay, and straw? It starts with a choice. Remember, destiny is a series of choices. And you need to start right now making good choices. So many of the choices we've made in life, many of us, are bad choices. And bad choices lead to bad consequences. But we can make a habit of choosing good choices. We need to start making good habits, and we need to demolish bad habits. Destroying a bad habit or establishing a good habit starts with a choice. And what I'm going to ask of you this morning is that you make a choice to build gold, silver, and costly stone, not wood, hay, and straw, to build something into your life that will last, something that's important. So would you bow your heads in prayer? Let's speak to the Lord. The Word of God says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search your heart right now. Lord, I pray that you would just cast your spotlight through our heart, from top to bottom, from left to right, from back to front. Is there any offensive way in me? Are there any bad habits I need to give to the Lord? We all have bad habits. I'm going to ask you to think about one bad habit. One bad habit that seems to kind of be controlling you instead of you controlling it. Just think in your mind of what that bad, let the Lord show you what that habit is. It might be so minor, but the deeper I go with the Lord, the more I realize that those minor bad habits can have a major impact on my life. I believe that today is the day that you are set free from that bad habit you're thinking about, whatever it is.